You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The music you're hearing comes from musician Juliana Soltis and her new album, Going Off Script. She's playing Bach's beloved cello suites, but in a way you may not have heard before. She's using historical ornamentation as she plays. In effect, she's improvising around what Bach originally wrote for the cello. Juliana believes the notes that Bach wrote are not static instructions, but living works of art, and they should add in their own ornamentation or improvisation as they play. Juliana is in Boise for a recital and a cello masterclass, and both of those are open to the public, and they're happening at Boise State University over the weekend, and we are lucky enough to have Juliana here with us. Welcome to the program, Juliana.
Thanks so much for having me.
So how did you start playing the cello?
I actually got started playing the cello in the public school system in Charleston, West Virginia, where I grew up. They had a string quartet come into my elementary school when I was 9 years old, and they played what I later learned was, I believe, the Beethoven Opus 18 number 6 string quartet. And they had, this is probably going to let people guess my age just a little, but they had incandescent Christmas tree lights attached to their music stands, and they each had a little pedal by their foot. And every time they had the theme, bum, ba-dum, bum, bum, they would stomp on the pedal and the little light would flash. And of course, as the theme gets traded back and forth, there are Christmas tree lights just flashing all over the place. And yet we all thought that was so cool. And they sent us home with our permission slips, and they said, you can play any instrument you want to play. And my mom is sitting there with me, and she goes, okay, sweetie, you know, if you want to, you can do this. Mm-hmm. What instrument would you like to play? And I looked at her, and I said, the cello. And my poor mother's face just fell a little bit because I was quite small. And I think she saw that she was going to be hauling this thing around for a few years.
Yeah, because it's bigger than you.
It was bigger than me.
So this was when you're 9. So tell us what happens then when you're 11 years old.
Oh my goodness. When I was 11, I heard the prelude from the first Bach cello suite for the very first time. And that's actually the piece that opened the program. And I knew I had to play this. And so I go to my teacher, and I have taught myself by ear to play like the opening bars of this. I want to make sure she absolutely, there's no mistake, she knows what piece of music I want to play. And I go in and I'm like, I want to play this. You know, teach me to play this music. And she, wonderful, wonderful woman, Stacy Nichol Miller, she looks at me, she's so kind, and she says, You're just not ready yet. And being 11 and more than a little precocious, it's like, yes, I am. And finally, she relents and she says, okay, we will play Bach, but you're going to start with the minuets instead, which are a little bit shorter and comparatively just a little bit easier.
Oh, too funny. So why Bach? What was it about his music?
I spent so much time thinking about this question, particularly because as cellists, Bach is the only repertoire that we play from the time that we are very small until the very end of our careers. We, all of us, always play Bach. And I think that there is something in Bach, whether we're musicians or no, that touches us on a very deep and elemental level. I'm fond of telling an anecdote in which, you know, I go to New York City for the first time as a young cellist, and a stranger walks up to me on the subway platform. I'm standing there. I have my cello on my back. I wear my cello as a backpack. And this person starts singing to me and going, "Oh God, why did I come to New York by myself? This is so weird. These people singing to me on the subway platform." Yeah. But this person is singing that prelude from the first Bach suite and just looks at me with this incredibly hopeful face and says, "Do you play that really pretty piece?" Oh. And it's like, "Oh, yes, yes, I do." And the thing I realize is they don't know it's Bach. So there's none of this association of Bach, the marble bust on the shelf, you know, the great Bach. He's one of the three B's of classical music. It's just that the music moves them and it sticks with them. And I think that for me, certainly, that's why I keep coming back to it over and over again. Mm-hmm.
So you've talked about historical ornamentation, and how do you do that with Bach's music?
Well, ornamentation is, at its most basic, the art of filling in the spaces that the composer has left behind in the music for the performer to complete the process of composition in the moment of performance. So when I am looking at any piece of music, and certainly when I'm looking at Bach, I'm going through it first. I'm looking for those places where it's like, you know, it just feels like something could happen right here that would make that particular moment that much more special, add just a little bit of sparkle, add a little bit of emphasis that really shows the audience that this is a special moment.
I would love it if you would play some of that ornamentation now. Could you tell us what you'll play for us?
Absolutely. We're going to start with the Courant from the first suite in G major. Thank you.
Juliana, that was beautiful. Can you tell us, in layman's terms, for those of us who, you know, don't understand music like you do, how you were improvising around Bach when you were playing that piece?
Well, what I'm looking for is a space. And it might actually help if I illustrate just a tiny bit. Would you mind?
Oh, no, absolutely. Okay. That would be great.
Great. So I'm looking for spaces. And, you know, somebody might say, well, what's a space? How do I identify a space? So in music, there's linear motion. Think about like beam, bum, bum, bum. We're going downwards. Mm-hmm. So. There isn't any space there. It's completely filled up all the way from the highest note down to the lowest note. But when I start that courant, one of the first things that you'll notice is that there are a few spaces. The notes aren't exactly in a line. They aren't all lined up together. So that gives me a little bit of space to play around. Bach gave me room, and the invitation is there. Do as you like.
I love that. I mean, it gives you this creative space that maybe, you know, you haven't thought about before. So I'm assuming maybe when you play with this historical ornamentation, would it be different than if someone else put their own take on it?
Absolutely. And that's what I love about playing Bach's music this way. Every time I sit down to play, it's going to be different. Every time somebody else approaches the music, it's going to be different. And so then the music becomes not just a static museum piece gathering dust on a shelf, but a living, breathing thing.
I love that. That's just, wow, it's beautiful. So, Juliana, your album and the way you use historical ornamentation is a little controversial, I would assume, in those classic circles. tell us why that is.
Well, I think it's because we have, over the centuries, developed an idea of Bach and Bach's music as something static. Mm. It might help people to remember that after Bach dies, his music is no longer performed because people wanted what's new. They didn't want to listen to old stuff. So Bach's music really isn't heard outside of academic circles until well into the 19th century when Felix Mendelssohn and Robert Schumann work on the Bach Gesellschaft, the first complete edition of Bach's works. And they idolize Bach. He is the composer. They admire his genius for counterpoint. They admire, you know, the way that he evokes these deep, deep emotions. Of course, Mendelssohn and Schumann, these are the romantic composers. So they're all about the feelings, especially the very intense feelings. And while I agree that Bach is amazing, something happens when we put someone up on that shelf, when we put a composer on a shelf, when we put their music up on a shelf and say, this is something to be revered, and we must not play around with it.
At all.
At all, never. Because what we are neglecting is that Bach is living and working at a time when improvisation is a huge part of the musical culture. Bach himself is known better for his improvising skills in his own day than he's known for his compositions. There are wonderful,
fascinating.
Yeah, there are wonderful anecdotes about Bach, including that very early in his career, when he's working as an organist at, I think it's Mühlhausen, he gets reprimanded for getting a little too free and easy with his improvised postludes.
So he's a little bit of a rebel.
He's a little bit of a rebel. Bach is. I think one time he was also fined for sword fighting in the streets. And for once having a young lady in the organ loft who was not a member of his family.
Oh, well, that's going to get you into all kinds of trouble back then. So, I mean, here's what I love about this then, is that if it seems to me then, if Bach were alive today and hearing this, I mean, he may really appreciate the riffs on his music.
I would hope so. And honestly, from my own research, I would think so. Everything that we know about Bach, everything that we know about the musical culture in which he is operating, both as a performer and a composer, tells us that not only would he have appreciated this, but he would have expected it. Essentially, the music that's on the page, you can think of it as a recipe. It's instructions for making music. Music in Bach's time doesn't happen until somebody plays it. There are no recordings. If you want music, you have to play it or you have to go hear it played. So what's on the page, what so many of us as classical musicians can just idolize, it's just a recipe. And let me tell you, if somebody said, hey, I baked you a cake, because I really love cake, and then just handed me a recipe for cake instead of a cake, I would not be very happy.
Yeah, I'd be like, no, you just gave me a recipe. There's no cake.
It's just like, yeah, this is not cake.
So let's talk about the recital you're doing Friday night as well as the cello masterclass on Saturday morning. How did you come to both of them?
Well, I actually came into contact with the professor of cello, Dr. Brian Hodges, at Boise State University through Instagram. Brian plays both modern and Baroque cello as well, and he had expressed an interest in my work, and we got to chatting. And then over the pandemic, he floated the idea of, you know, when things get back to, you know, something kind of sort of resembling normal. Yeah, why don't you come out to Boise and do something? And I said, okay, sounds great. And I owe it entirely to him and the wonderful staff of the music department at Boise State University for setting all of this up and making it happen.
And anyone can attend this, right? It's open to the public.
This is open to the public. Ticket prices, I think, are $7 for adults, $5 for seniors. Any student with an ID can get in for free. Of course, all Boise State faculty and students are admitted for free and to the recital. And the masterclass, if you'd like to hear me chitty chat a bit more about Bach and listen to the wonderful students here at Boise State play some cello, you can join us Saturday morning at 10 a.m.
Well, I have to tell you, you've made me interested in Bach, and I never thought those words would come out of my mouth.
Yay!
So I thank you for that.
Job done.
What job well done right there. Check. Would you play another piece for us as we wrap up the show? We'd really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Oh, I should probably say, this is going to sound familiar. You heard this at the beginning, but this is a new version. Okay. This is the Prelude from the Suite Number 1 in G Major.
And we've been speaking with musician Juliana Soltis, who is in Boise this weekend, for a solo Bach recital Friday night at 7:30 at Boise State, and then a cello master class Saturday morning at the Morrison Center Recital Hall. Both events are open to the public. Our thanks to Juliana for coming in and chatting with us, as well as playing this just beautiful music for us. And I want to thank all of you for being a part of Idaho Matters. We so appreciate you. Our senior producer is Samantha Wright. Our assistant producer is Anna Gardowski. I'm Gemma Gaudet. I hope you have a good rest of your day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Thank you.